Hello, do you hear me?
Hello, we hear you, and thank you very much for being present. We are here in Debrecen, University of Debrecen. My name is István Gál. I'm vice rector of the university, and you know we are participating in a project supported by the European Union, the purpose of which is to involve scientists all over universities of Hungary to use the high-performance computers. And therefore, your lecture is very welcome. Here in Debrecen we have a supercomputer produced by Silicon Graphics and also in Pécs, the same or similar type of supercomputer. So we are very much looking forward to your talk. And thank you very much for accepting our invitation.
Thank you very much for inviting me. I hope the microphone is sensitive enough. We know each other for some time. The other participants do not. And so before we start the presentation, I would like very briefly to say who am I, and maybe later on you will understand why you should listen or should ask the questions. Then, you see, I am quite old. I'm already 51 years, and I am all my career with computers. I studied Technical University in Brno, the computers. It was a very new kind of studies and very prestigious at the time. And after I successfully finished the my studies, I started in parallel my own software company, and I was member of the team which develops operating system for something which can be seen like preliminary DOS PC at the time the socialistic system was behind the West. And then after the change in the communist system, then with one colleague we learned together, we start the distributor for Silicon Graphics in Czech Republic in early 91, and from that time I am with that company. And later on we were very successful, so we were transformed to SDI office, and we were responsible for Czechoslovakia, then Czech Republic, and then later on we got responsibility for Slovakia, then Poland, Hungary, and today we manage the territory from Baltic Sea to Mediterranean Sea and from Prague to Kamchatka. So from Brno office, we are responsible for the practically biggest part of the world by territory, not by revenue yet, but we hope it will change as well, as the former communist bloc would skip over the former West bloc, or at least to equal soon. So part of that effort is NIF, and I was very glad that I have the opportunity to be part of this project. And I work here partially as a salesperson or sales manager, and partially as the HPC consultant, which was my previous occupation in SGI, and it's still my hobby. Even I do not have too much time to spend on projects just now, so I just choose one, maximum two projects a year, where I am also technically involved.
Just a second, Jiří. Kedves kollégák, a mikrofont legyetek szívesek lemútolni. Köszönjük. Sorry, so you can continue, please.
Okay, so I hope you still hear me all. SGI, the company I work for as a partner and now as an employee for more than 20 years, is a company very well known in high-performance computing from very early stages. It was graphics and then later on the supercomputers. We are practically in every computational intensive area. which our customers do. And we would say, compared with other IT companies, we are the smallest of the big folks. The differentiation is that we are focused on technical computing. It means on high-performance computing. We do not practically do, or very little, do the databases and some other kinds of IT infrastructure, which for our competitors, it is typically 90 and 99% of their activities. So practically, we would say that we are in HPC area, we are one of the big companies. You see a lot of areas here. What I would like to say also about SGI is that it is a company I like to work for because it's technically perfecting company, trying to design the product for high-performance computing and not only to use what's developed for some other things or other markets and then somehow to reuse in high-performance computing. We really start the development for high-performance utilization and the customers like NIF and others worldwide, and then maybe it's used in some other areas later on. The truth is that high-performance computing, in some sense, is the most demanding market in terms of processor utilization, temperatures, power supplies utilization, and so on. And, for example, the internal latencies in the system and so on. So here is, for example, the diagram which shows how we tune the power consumption of the systems. And we measure it on the real application. On the left side, you see these key applications which we evaluate against each design of our computers. Another characteristics of SGI is that we are typically not the for the mass users. We are more for the researchers and people who want to be in the frontier of the design. It means typically we add some additional features to our hardware and software, which allows some new or non-typical use of high-performance computing or development of new algorithms, testing of new ideas, and so on, which allows us to be in very interesting sites and to participate in very interesting projects. Also, it shows our PR, or let's say if you search for SGI, we are, after some years of crisis 5 years ago, we are again in the press and we are again in the HPC publications, like we were chosen for Editor's Choice Award in November in supercomputing for the best use of high-performance computing in application, and it was Wikipedia historical mapping. Similar, very interesting application you can find on our web, like Twitter Heartbeat, which in the real time analyzes the Twitter communication and then tries to guess some social attitude around some event. Also very interesting work. This is allowed by some special features. It means allowed, for example, in this case, it was the UV2000, the latest shared memory supercomputer. Also, our activity reflects the stock growing. As you see the right down picture on the screen, also the analysts see SGI is a healthy company, and so we are growing quite nicely these days, or this last year shot. Some interesting things which we do, maybe the picture, at least on my big screen here, it's not very visible because it's dark colors, but this is the biggest commercial high-performance system on the world, which is installed in Total in France. This is a seismic analyze when they are looking for oil in the ground. Then there are a lot of customers who simulate the wind and the water or other chemicals flow inside the technology or around some vehicles like airplanes, helicopters, ships, and so on. And we do also very interesting analysis of the satellite images combined with atmospheric or climate or ocean modeling, and combined, for example, with models like the forest growing and so on. So our systems are heavily used today by the climatologic experts and this warming, global warming experts, to simulate the scenarios how our planet would react to the changed temperature. Or it's not just the temperature, but I hope you know what we mean. We have also very big systems in NASA, where are more than 100,000 of processors and petabytes of memory, where they simulate not only the nuclear weapons and rocket and the space shuttle, but also the universe life and preparing the missions like the Curiosity and others on the Mars. There are a lot of very interesting things. I just put this into the presentation. I think I will send it later on, so each of you from your area of interest, you can look for the reference, and then if you put some phrases for this slides, then you can then check on the internet the more detailed information. Typically there are some press release from SGI or the customer, or some other type of announcement. From the worldwide interesting things, there is a picture from Europe where we have a very good cooperation with Professor Stephen Hawking in Cambridge, and he's the fan of Altix UV because of this big memory, so he can simulate the Big Bang, the cosmologic theory. As you know, this professor is the father of the cosmologic Big Bang theory. Another installation even closer to Hungary is Austria Meteorological Institute, where we won with something similar like you have in Debrecen. It's just one generation more modern system. It's ICE-X, while you have the ICE-84000. It means it differs in the processor. One generation processor from Intel, and also the density. So they have in four racks, they have 4,000 cores. You have two racks and you have 2,000 cores. So it's the density is still same. And what's interesting here, and that's why I decided to make this presentation first, is to show you where the application speed difference became from. Because in this recent tender, it was finished spring a year ago and installed in, I think, June, we provided 1.5 times to 2 times application performance. And there were several applications, and I will show you at least where the ideas where we gain such application speed up compared with similarly costly competitive solutions, because the tender practically was for the given price, and the task was to offer the best possible performance on the, I think it was 5 applications from weather and climatology. Another customer where we learn a lot and which I think is relevant to you is Škoda Mladá Boleslav. It's the car design center where 80% of their hardware is SGI. As you see, there are the roughly sizes. We are not allowed anymore to publish the configurations and exact sizes of the systems, because Škoda does not want to show publicly where they are getting the competitive advantage. Anyhow, on top of the race cars they design, I hope you are also using the good Škoda cars a lot in Hungary, so you know how reliable and comfortable they are on very good price. And part of that is that they do from Octavia, they do everything virtually. Noise, vibrations, crash tests, everything. So practically the car exists 2 years and it was done with SGI more than 15 years ago. And we learn a lot and once you are the physicist or technician people, you have a lot of common applications and a lot of common tasks to develop. So for your information, we have two engineers full time in Škoda, which are helping the customer to get the optimal performance, optimal workflow for what they are doing or what practically what new they want to do. We also integrate the storage and the software stack. Now, what's the core of the presentation or what's the target? What I want to give today is the overview of SGI UV1000, which is the SMP system in patch, and how it differentiates and what it brings different compared with our system in Debrecen, which is the cluster SGI ICE 8400. And on top of the capabilities comparison, I would discuss a little bit the accelerators which are available. And after this portion, I have very few slides, which I expect would be followed by my colleague Roland Richter next time on the next training, which I invite you to participate. And he's an expert for the software part and how you in your applications can use all the hardware and software advantages. So I think it would be even more interesting for your daily life and what you are trying to achieve with your research and tests or whatever you simulate on our systems. Anyhow, I believe it's important to understand a little bit what's below the software interface, to understand also the limitations and maybe to get at least idea or to remember, if I do that, maybe such accelerator would be interesting and then you can search for the right library or right way how to utilize this. And also, as we sold as part of the project to NIF, the time of our experts, you are invited to ask through NIF central facility to receive such help from us. So this is seen like introduction, but if you want something to know deeper, we are able to arrange the training in your site, face-to-face, hands-on on your systems, hands-on on your applications, and to help you to develop even further. So, another slide shows how the typical large HPC centers in Europe are organized. The NIF is a little bit different than I would describe why, but anyhow, you have very similar capabilities. So generally, on the top, there are the storages where your data resides. Typically, there are several kinds of storages like Scratch for very fast access from the computational systems, and the home directories where you have your home files, where you prepare your experiments and where you get the results or store the results. And typically the third part is some archive. In case of NIF, the picture is divided by this red line in the middle. So this large node SMP system, which is the blue on the left, SGI UV, is a node in patch, and it has its own Scratch, and it is not connected by Sun with this storage for small node, highly parallel system like ICE in Debrecen. But as I learned, you have some umbrella above all these storages from Budapest, managed by NIF. So I hope at least on some level you can see your storage space as some globally accessible storage. Then the another blue part here is something like ICE, typically the size and computational capacity of the cluster is around twice big as the UV, but of course there are a lot of deviations and exceptions. Some customers go the strategy the same money and similar performance of SMP if they have a lot of tasks which are suitable for this system, for this supernode, or there are many other customers who have just one or few small SMP systems and then very large MPP or cluster systems. And typically, because of the generations and the new development, the customers have more kinds of clusters or MPP systems. So this is just very simple file. In your case, you have, I think, at least one big or similar sized cluster node in Szeged in from HP. So this picture is just something very optimal. Real life is always more complicated. And typically, if it is in one site and it should be used as one resource, typically it's good to get the InfiniBand network, not only for cluster, but also the UV or this SMP node to be connected to, which allows easier access to data between these parts. So, for example, the workflow could have jobs running in parallel on UV and in parallel on the cluster. In your case, this is probably not very suitable because you have the latency between and some wide area network limitations between these parts. But generally, I just want you to give the idea how things can be organized. Maybe when you are thinking about the next phase, maybe would be beneficial to sync some SMP nodes to Debrecen and some cluster to Pécs to have both centers somehow corresponding each other and to have better variability of resources in each site. So it's just an idea. InfiniBand also, we are very often recommending InfiniBand as storage solution. It means that instead of fiber channel and typical storage area network, which is the protocol for accessing the disks, InfiniBand can be used instead, which makes the system cheaper and performance-wise it's identical or sometimes better than the fiber channel technology. Depends. It needs to be analyzed case by case. But generally, the InfiniBand network we recommend quite strong. I will tell you when we speak about ICE why we designed the system this way and the benefits. So now I would go deeper into the part of which is in Debrecen. It means ICE in the cluster. Generally, the cluster ICE is seen now in the generation ICE-X, but generally it was true when this system was purchased a year ago for Altix ICE 84000. That's the fastest distributed memory computer, and it's very scalable and nicely performing. What was the main differentiation, or at least in my perspective, during the negotiation or the offering, was that we are as a standard offering two InfiniBands, two complete InfiniBands, which are independent each other, and it allows not only to optimize the topology of each InfiniBand network to the application mix, it also brings redundancy and it brings additional performance for your workflow. And on top of that, it allows, for example, to split between the communication between the tasks, between the processors in the system or nodes, which are the small rectangles. As you see, there are 64 per rack of these. Each has two processors and some memory in it and two InfiniBand controllers. And then each controller, it goes to the left or right side of ICE. So it connects to the InfiniBand A or InfiniBand B. Then another beauty of that design is that one runs preferably I/O and second runs the communication, because if you run it together and some nodes, for example, store or read a lot of data, some other nodes can be have delayed the communication, and in InfiniBand it can occur. So using that, we are typically reaching something like 5 to 10% more performance on average applications. Then the system is very open because it runs standard Linux, and we use standard Intel Xeon processors. We are able to use also AMD, but for your case in Debrecen, the Intel offering was chosen. And also ICE allows different topologies of InfiniBand. And in the next slide, I would go deeper to this, because I think it's also quite interesting for you to learn about it. And then it's differentiated on capabilities against some other hardware. I think it's not so interesting anymore, because the hardware was chosen, but it brings some additional things. Here is how the system is configured. So you have more than 2,000 cores running on the fastest available speed, and it's still the fastest available speed today, after we are 1 year older. You can run faster with Turbo, and if the room is cooled well, which it is, then you can run up to 3.6 gigahertz, if I am correct. Then the system has 8 terabytes of memory, which gives you 4 gigabytes per core, which is the memory limit per node, because each node has 12 cores, then you have 48 gigabytes per node, which means that the limit to which the application on one node has to fit. Then there are dual rail QDR InfiniBand with all-to-all topology. As I mentioned, the topology is on the next slide, so I will go deeper then. And the system has attached more than half petabyte of Luster file system in nearby racks. There are few interesting things which differentiate SGI from the competitors, and that's one of these are two InfiniBands, and second is the possibility to choose the topologies on InfiniBands. We choose an all-to-all. You see the schematics of all-to-all on the left side. The advantage is the lowest latency from all the networks. If you compare, for example, with FAT3, then some nodes are very close because they are on the same InfiniBand switch. Each, this gray round, it's one InfiniBand switch, and on each there are up to 36 nodes or connections. Some of them are used to the upper switches, some of them are used for the nodes. So if you compare with FAT3, which is the most commonly used, first of all, you see there are another level of switches, so you need more switches. It means the solution is more costly. Also, it brings more latency because some nodes are local connected, but it's always on the node. But then you have at least two hops. It means from the first switch where your node is connected to the upper and down. And if you are not on this neighbor switch, then you have to go to the upper switch. So there are four hops. It means it's the latency to communicate is longer compared with all-to-all. With all-to-all, you can go from every switch to every other switch. If there is less number of switches than the available ports, then some of these links are dual or triple to have the higher bandwidth. In your case, the system is optimally structured because for two full racks, which are in Debrecen, all InfiniBand ports for connections are used. So the advantage is that the system is quite homogeneous. It's not important where you have your application placed, where which part of computer it uses, because the latency is somehow very equal between any nodes in the cluster. Another topologies which we use, and these are for bigger than 2 racks, because for less than 2 racks, that practically are not necessary, and it's hypercube or some forms of enhanced hypercube. You see the schematics here, and we use these topologies if we go to for bigger configurations. And again, advantage is compared with FAT3 is very similar characteristics and better price. You see the comparison across several applications we are testing. We have some general suite of applications, so it's geometric mean. And if you see, there are different colors for different size of the system, one rack or two rack. And then there is hyper single hypercube, enhanced hypercube, all to all, and FAT3. And you see that the differences are practically up to 5%. And the best is enhanced hypercube 428. It's a little bit better than standard hypercube. So you see that your system with the all-to-all brings you very good parameters on communication between the nodes. And this is same graph for different set of applications. So these are some standard benchmarks. And again, you see that all-to-all, which is the right color, I mean this light red, so you see it's very good, and it's always better than FAT3, which is the blue one. Sometimes this enhanced hypercube is even better, but it's more costly because it needs switches with more connections to have a higher bandwidth between the switches. Another key advantage which is built into ICE in Debrecen is OS noise synchronization. The picture try to explain what's going on. Practically, if you have the normal system with many nodes and you run one application on top of these, sometimes some system has some interrupt. For example, it can be the clock time. It means the interrupt from clock when the system does some standard, for example, increase the time, reschedule the kernel, the processor's cores, or doing something else, checking some other system parameters or whatever. And if this is used on big cluster, for example, 500 nodes or 200 nodes like you have, then if it comes randomly, then you see practically it delays your execution a lot, because the system overhead is privileged. It means it has higher priority, so it interrupts your compute time, which is a green. And after some amount of calculation, you typically need some other iteration, and before the other iteration, there has to be some communication, synchronization, data exchange between different nodes, which is this dotted black line. And the nodes which are faster in execution, then they have to wait for the data exchange. So you are always waiting for the slowest node. So first of all, what we recommend in some applications is that the node zero, where is this main scheduler, sometimes some other application things, sometimes it's better to keep this node zero idle without calculation and to run it on other nodes. It needs to be tested, depends on the application. Anyhow, if because there are most interrupts and most operating system work on the first node, typically like MPI synchronization for other nodes. Anyhow, even if you put the node zero aside, you still lose quite a lot of time by this overhead. So what we do on ICE, and that's the other picture, that we synchronize by a special network inside ICE. We synchronize the operating systems in all nodes in the cluster. So once there is an interrupt from one operating system, it forces the interrupt or the same overhead or same action to other operating systems, and then you see the result. So then depends, of course, what's the computational time versus this overhead. But in typical applications, there are studies on internet that on 500 node cluster, typically on average application, you save around 10% of your computational time, which is otherwise wasted in this, which is this red color. So this is one advantage. You get this for free. It's built in the system, the network, and when the system, when the operating systems are built, then this additional is linked into the OS. So our standard delivery has, if you install the SJ Propec extension, then it is there. So that's one of the reasons why you can feel your calculation getting a little bit faster than on the same system from other vendor or which is not using this. Another key is differentiation SGI provides, and it's all of these, not all, but most of these are in Debrecen, and this is the software stack. The software stack is a quite complicated part of the installation, and those of you who built your own clusters, you can have your own experience how difficult it is not to install things, but to get them performing well, because there are version dependencies, there are configuration dependencies between different parts of the software stack, and then there are bugs. And what SGI is doing, that we are using standard operating system, we are using somehow standard or third-party workload scheduler, standard or third-party development tools, sometimes some other pieces. Anyhow, it requires a lot of testing, which components to use together and how to configure them to get the system which does not waste its energy on some not useful work. So what we do is the testing of all the components, and important are these two green on the left and right. One is management suite, which allows to manage all resources and to also manage the energy consumption. So it helps the cooling, for example, in the peak hours when there is a hot outside and the cooling is on the limit, the system is able to do some power optimization. And then, which is more important for you as a researcher, there is a performance suite, which has four key areas. The most important for you, at least for the beginning, is SGI MPI, which is Messing Passing Interface or Messing Passing Toolkit, which is mainly the MPI library and the tools around it, how to monitor it, which is optimized MPI for our hardware. And then there are some on different hardware which we provide or which we build, there are some different accelerators or things which are hardware or some other way accelerated. And this library automatically, when used, involves all the accelerators which make sense for the hardware which is below the software stack. Practically, there is also the bridge to other MPI, quite used, for example, is HP MPI and so on. So you can also use this bridge, which is a special piece of software, which on top behaves like some other MPI library, and in fact it calls or uses the SGI MPI. And by this MPI, we see on some application, it doesn't bring anything, but we see applications which bring up to 30% speed up. For example, one of the biggest speed up is on OpenFOAM, which is the OpenCFD package. I am not sure if you are using it, but I recommend that to your attention because it can give you very similar results like Fluent. Of course, it's not certified application, it's open source, but the advantage is that it's free, so you can run it on 500 cores easily. While if you have to buy 500 cores Fluent license, then it's quite costly, and so it limits the usage of these licenses. While with the OpenFOAM, you can run up to 2,000 cores. It means to utilize all the systems still to get very good speed up and to have the license for free. And we can help you to optimize that or set up correctly. So then another what's here interesting is DMF CXFS, which are the storage softwares, but these are not in Debrecen. These are not in patch, so these are not there. Luster, it's in Debrecen, so you have it. It's a storage infrastructure, and then the SGI Foundation software, which is a set of drivers. For you, it's irrelevant. It just allows the system optimally work to get the performance. So there are some improved drivers for InfiniBand and some other cards to get optimal performance on these. More deep presentation about the software and the software stack and the libraries inside each of the packages, which you can use to link into your application or to call from your vendor application, or how to put things together to get optimal performance, will be presented by Rudiger Wolf, our HPC specialist, on the next SGI session, which I do not know yet the date, but hopefully your colleagues are discussing the plan, so I expect it would be some early April. Then, using our extensions, we reached something very unique in the industry. On Fluent, we were able to present 3,000 cores, still scaling, not linearly, but scaling still up. I will show you on SGI UV that it's not easy task. And this is just because of our tuned library and tuned Fluent for this environment. So it's not only our environment, it's also the common work with Fluent, and that's what we provide to our customers. It's much more than hardware. Regarding UV, that's kind of similar computer, at least by name, SGI, own development. What's important is that it's a totally different approach how you access the memory from your processors. It's again seen as the world's fastest shared memory computer, and the reason is that while others are limited today to 128 cores roughly, except some 256 cores older designs, we can go to 4,000 cores today, and 16 terabyte is standard, and we can go up to 64 terabyte of operational memory accessible by one operating system. Each processor can address all the 64 terabytes of memory. In your case, not, because you have 8 terabytes, but it's, or 6 terabytes, but it's still the possibility for the next round to extend or to go for a new system. Again, it runs standard Linux or standard Windows. We focus on Linux. Windows is possible, but it's not supported by SGI. It's supported by Microsoft, so we do not have the performance extensions for it. And it's used for new markets, new research. As I mentioned, many of these advances at the beginning, it was used or run on UV. And it's differentiated against the competitors because standard design today is 4 sockets for most competitors. Then Bull has up to 64 or 128 cores. And I'm not sure they have Sandy Bridge available today. And then all other are some older design, except Power 7 from IBM, which is, or Power 8 maybe, which is very powerful system, but it's also very costly. So price performance is not as great. So UV provides this unique SMP features, which I would go to in next slide, what it is and what it means. Anyhow, short, what's in patch? Practically, you see the system is more, a little bit more than 1,000 Xeon cores, and about 6 terabyte, it's a little bit more than 6 terabyte of memory. Everything is connected by SGI Numerink 5, which is, it means there is no InfiniBand in it. It's one node. And attached is, it's mistyping. It should be XFS file system, not XLS file system. Again, about half, more than half petabyte. This file system is also important part of SMP system because it's directly attached. It means there is no file system in between the computer and the disks. It's XFS is a standard Linux file system. It's very fast, very reliable. So it also makes this installation a little bit cheaper and simple to manage. Now, what's the difference between the UV and ICE? On ICE, on the left side, you see there is communication infrastructure. In your case, it is InfiniBand. And then there are many nodes, which has each node has its own memory, its own processor, and its own operating system. And then there is some communication on top of these, which is typically made by MPI, which is the library which I recommend for ICE. Then if you want to access from the node 1 some memory which is in some other node, some other part of your data set, then you can't do it directly. You have to call some library, so the application has to be linked with this library or prepared for this library. It has to request the access to the data, it means read or write, and then it practically stops operation because now in interrupt it has to be handled, the synchronization and data transfer, and once the operation is finished, then your simulation can continue. And that's the fundamental difference against the UV, because on UV you have also several thousand of cores and several terabytes of memory, which is accessible. But the difference is that every core installed in the system can go directly and read or write the memory, any memory location in the available memory. Also, it is managed by one operating system, which has access and is scheduling jobs to all resources. So practically, you save the memory because the operating system is only once in the system, while on the cluster you have as many operating systems plus some management and job scheduler and storage nodes. So you have practically several hundred of operating systems. It means several hundred times few gigabytes of memory lost. And then because of memory is one resource, you can put your data anywhere and you can access them from anywhere. You can use the memory space much more efficiently. Practically, the real life rule is that to get close to the utilization of the shared memory system, you need to configure your cluster with twice as much memory for the same number of cores to get close to this. Because if you use the same amount of memory on both for the same number of cores, then the cluster, the throughput for the jobs would be lower, because then it would be not enough for every job on every node to run. So what we do is we get very good performance with less memory per node. It means the system can be a little bit cheaper on memory. On the other hand, it's a little bit more expensive on the communication infrastructure and unfortunately processors as well, because Intel charge a little bit more money for processors which are for this bigger system. Anyhow, the throughput of the system is higher. It's possible to see on some independent studies that SMP systems on a similar configuration have utilization above 90% easily, while it is quite difficult to get above 70% on the cluster. And this difference, 20%, it's practically offset of the price. So you can see that the system, even if you run cluster application on UV, then it provides a good return of investment. So why UV? For example, these are few typical situations. What I would point mostly is this last one, simple programming and management, because the system is managed and used like a big laptop. Practically, it's like your Linux laptop, and you can use just big memory and lot of cores there. Of course, it's not as simple if you want to get optimal performance out of that, because then you need to place your application across the resources reasonable way. We see typical situation where it is a new UV with the customer that they reach half of the performance than it is expected by us. And so typically our engineer go to the site, tune the system parameters, tune the application, or somehow do some few commands or few pragmas somewhere, or few scripts which prepare the environment, so the application then is optimally placed on the hardware in each run. And then typically we see roughly, of course it differs a lot, but roughly we see the speed up twice as much, just because few commands or few environment settings for that application. So it's easy to use like laptop, but it's good to work with experts. So that's one of our offer, that if you are new with your application or you are not sure if you run it optimally, then we can do this check and optimization with you. Same other things or advantages like on ICE, so, but there are a few more. One of the few more is that the interconnect between the nodes is NumaLink 5, in your case, which is 15 gigabytes per second per one cable. It means per link. It means practically 150 gigabits per second. It means three times the fastest InfiniBand and four times your InfiniBand per cable. And then we have practically all-to-all again inside the computer. It means from every part to every part, there is connectivity, some of them twice. So practically you reach at least five times more internal throughput inside the system compared with a similar cluster. And then another very interesting line is this MPI offload engine, which is a piece of hardware in each blade. In each blade is a building block. And this hardware makes or optimizes what I have on the next slide. And here you see the standard Fluent application on around the truck body, which is relatively very simple one. So it's typically scales quite well linearly. And here you see, if you go 1,000 cores, it's before using the special new features which are on ICE-X on our latest system. So you see that communication, this is a dark blue, is even bigger time than the calculation itself. So calculation to getting to more cores is shortened, but the communication is longer. And if you normalize that, which is the right part of the slide, if you normalize the proportion between the communication and the calculation, then you see that the calculation it's growing practically a lot, and if you go beyond 1,000, it would be even worse. And then if you go deeper into the MPI, you see that there are these are the listed, the main MPI calls, and focus of SGI with UV was to accelerate some of these. And so inside UV there is MPI hardware acceleration, which makes some of this call in hardware using our interconnect topology or interconnect technology, which is built for shared memory. It's used also for MPI, and the result is that we can shorten significantly the MPI communication time on UV, and practically without using any special other feature, then just we save more than 30% of time on this fluent task, and then we could scale to more cores, or at least to use more efficiently the cores which are used for the job. Here is what it brings on some simple benchmarks. You see the upper graph is MPI reduce, and the upper line, the black one, is on InfiniBand, and lower one is on UV, and it's UV one, UV 1000, which is on the graph. If we would put the UV 2000, which is the current generation, the violet line would be roughly on the half of it, especially for higher number of threads. So you see that the difference between one operation MPI reduce is about 3 times. There are some other like the barriers, and it's something like 80 times faster. So the calls or applications which use a barrier call from MPI, they could speed up even more. Another technology which is inside UV is called MOE, which is Memory Offload Engine. And here you see GOOP's Fast Fourier Transformation and P-Trans with and without this accelerator. This Memory Offload Engine, does the operation in memory, for example, the initialization of the array, such a way that normally if you are using the standard processor, the processor has to initiate each byte or each word or each number in the array by writing the data to the array, for example, 0, 0, 0 or some other value. While if you use this memory offload engine, it can be done by hardware without spending the CPU cycles, just by a simple call to the hardware or the library. We are using some of these accelerations in the libraries, which are coming through with the system automatically. So for example, if you call our libraries delivered with UV, it automatically uses these features inside the library. So you do not need to call them especially way. You just call the standard function, but from our package, not from the standard, for example, fast Fourier operation from some other library. So these are things which makes UV faster than comparable machines with just Intel processors, or if you have the same Intel processor, you would see the difference why the application runs faster. Of course, it has to use the right libraries and the right tools. Here is the scheme how the NumaLink works. Just for those who are hardware interested, so the four pieces are blades, which are the physically movable parts in the computer. There are 16 of these per one IRU and 64 per rack, and these are connected by NumaLink, and here it is is a router which then connects to some other routers or some other blades depending on of the size of the system. Also The other topology is routerless. It means because each hub has 8 connections to some other. So here is one only on the picture for easy understanding. But in fact, each hub has 8 connections. So it goes to other 8 routers or other 8 sets of hubs. So it allows to be well connected. So practically the NumaLink itself is able to deliver higher bandwidth to each node than the CPU can request from the hub. So practically it ensures there is no bottleneck in the NumaLink. For your system, this is only partially true because there are no routers. So it's routerless configuration, which means there are no this red router. So each hub goes to some neighbors. So in this configuration, because there are more blades than the connections from each blade, it's not 100% all to all. So there is some performance limitations. Anyhow, it can be upgraded anytime, and for most applications, it's still much faster than any InfiniBand can provide. Here is how the blade looks like. For those who want to go deeper, but I would say now to skip it and go to the applications. Practically, the best application which we can imagine for UV is such which use all the memory for data, and all processors are accessing the data practically randomly around the memory. This means this uses all the strength of the interconnect of the system, and if you compare with the cluster, practically such application would run 100 times slower on the cluster because there would be so much communication that practically the calculation would be minor. Then these are the types of application which we recommend UV as a must for such customers. Another type of application is where it is just a big data set and you are proofing some new application. So for example, you download satellite data or some other data to memory and then you analyze it. But you do not have time to parallelize. You just want to check if the algorithm works. And then you write it single core and it runs on one core, but because of the access to all data, the algorithm can be pretty fast compared if you search on the disk, for example, it's 100 times faster. Another very good application speed up using the shared memory is that some critical data or critical files are mapped to the memory, and even you access them by the file access, read or write, or more threads can access these. Practically, the delay to go to the memory, even if you go through IO call, is very slow, very small. So practically, we see 40 to 100 times speed up on some applications if the critical file is mapped to the memory. And mapping the file to the memory can be done when you, on the prompt, when you write the command to run the application, you just put some optional command line to say which file in which portion, in which size of the memory should be placed into the memory. And if there is enough memory, then it's granted and the application can use the speed up. And as I told, the speed up is 40 to 100 times on many applications. So generally, this is the best return on investment. So if you have 1 more terabyte of memory or 10 more terabytes of memory, or if you have money for it, then I always recommend to go for these to get the speed up, because then you do not need to rewrite your application. You do not need any programming. You just use it. UV also has, as well as ICE, a lot of applications because it's standard Linux, so applications there is practically no issue. I also spoke about this hybrid concept, which makes sense to have both UV and some cluster. Here is a table which is available on our web pages, where you can see typical applications and see if they are more suitable for ice or for UV, for both, or if it should be somehow different. Also on our web pages, there is a lot of white papers about different applications. Typically it's Fluent, Nastran, Gaussian, and many others. So you can read in detail how your applications or applications which are interesting for you, what settings we recommend, what speed up on different architectures are possible, and some other tricks, what can be done. If it is not enough, then we have the consultants to discuss this deeper for your needs. For example, this is from the white paper, so you see exactly what's configuration, what speed up in different settings, and so on. Then last part is how to succeed together. And practically, this is the invitation to the next more detailed software presentation. I just want to say that we support Red Hat, SUSE, and CentOS. You have the SUSE, if I remember well, installed, which is our preferred operating system where we have the most enhancements and largest memory support built, and it's also supported by SGI, in contrast with Red Hat, which is supported by Red Hat, Windows, which is supported by Microsoft, and CentOS, which is practically community-supported operating system. Then this is a picture how the management center looks like. It's more for system administrators, just to let you know that it's graphically oriented, very simple, very intuitive. And then the parts of the performance suite, again, it's very well documented on our web pages. So if you are interested to learn a little bit before the next presentation, you are invited to visit our web pages, and then you can have much better understanding when you want to ask something specific, then you can really ask the right question to Rüdiger. I am sure most of the questions will be answered during the call or during the presentation. So I am finished. Thank you for your time. I am a little bit 7 minutes longer, but I hope it was still interesting enough. We have now 13 minutes for the questions, if there are any.
So thank you very much for your very interesting talk, for your very interesting lecture. So we are very proud to have supercomputer produced by Silicon Graphics here in Debrecen and also in Pécs, and we hope that we shall have the opportunity to meet each other personally as well. So let me ask the colleagues if there are some questions. At the other places, are there questions? So it seems that
I have one question. So can you give me a very short response regarding the extensibility or scalability of the supercomputer situated in Debrecen? How big can be?
Maximum? How big it can be?
Yeah. Can be extended, the computer here in Debrecen?
The system can be extended beyond 1,000 cores, it means 25 times, and it's still one ice. What we do, for example, the good example is NASA. They have more than 100,000 cores today, and they started with ice 8,200, and it has different flavors, because every half a year we introduce some small small portion of new technology, let's say, something like better InfiniBand or some other feature. And then the line ICE 8400 arrived with faster InfiniBand and new generation of processors. And then ICE X, which is the new computer similar to your eyes, just with a little bit higher density, native support for Phi and K20 from NVIDIA on the blade, and some other new features in thermal and packaging. And these are all connected together in at NASA, and the upgrades, because of the hierarchical management, we are able to do the upgrades during the full operation of the system. Of course, if you unplug the power, it can be done. But if it is prepared for new racks, I mean the cables, the power supply, the cooling, then we can install the racks and additional hardware of any type and combine it with the current one during the full operation of your users on the current installation. And then just when the installation is finished, tested, then through the hierarchical management, you add the additional resources so the users can start to use them. And that's one of very valuable features for some customers who really need the productivity and who has the big sites, where the one day stop or few hours stop of such a big system means several thousand hours lost, and they can't afford it. So that's one advantage, and it goes together with the possibility to combine different ICE models together. The another advantage is that you can do it on the normal during normal usage, at least from the user perspective. Of course, in the data center, the physical rebuild in the data center has to be done. But once this is achieved, then the upgrade of our part is relatively very seamless and very fast. I hope it answered your question.
Thank you very much for your answer. And we thank again for your very interesting talk. And
we have a question in the
question. Okay, please.
So I'm wondering if there is any specific requirement for the softwares that are installed on the UV machine. What I have in mind more precisely is that, for instance, if the Mathematica is installed, Mathematica by Wolfram is installed on UV, then would it be able to see all the 16 terabytes of memory?
So first of all, you can see only the memory which is installed. In the case of Page, it's 6 terabytes. That's the first limitation.
Okay.
Second limitation is that the workflow which you are using on the system has to allow for such a big resource usage. Typically, the workflow on these systems are organized in some classes and queues in the job scheduler or for online use. And typically, there are different classes. It means 10 cores, 100 cores, 500 cores, 1,000 cores. And typically, it is up to administrator or some say management decision who will get what access rights. It means how big is part of the system for how long, and what other resources such a person can use. So if you install it, and if the application as well as the user has the somehow accreditation or the right to use, then it should theoretically see all the installed memory. Second limitation can be built inside the application. I am not very experienced with the Mathematica and this simulation packages, so I could not say how well this is implemented. Because, for example, if we are using Windows on UV, it can only see, I think, 1 terabyte of memory maximum. It can't see more. I mean operating system. And then if the operating system doesn't see more memory, then your application doesn't see the memory either, because it's asking the operating system how much available memory it has. So it's another limitation is the software stack. So it depends on which operating system, under which privileges, under which user you are running. And these are things which need to be answered by your system administrators or some other responsible person, and where we can be used as a consultant or help if you are not sure, or these people are not sure how to make it bigger, or let's say how to organize things differently. If you really need all the memory, then we can cooperate to find the right settings to achieve that.
Okay.
Thank you very much. Was that satisfactory, Zoltán?
Yes, thank you.
Further questions? If not, then I thank your very interesting talk again. Thank you very much and hope to see you again.
Okay. And hopefully next time I will be able to come personally. Today it was quite a terrible morning when I wake up with 25 centimeters of new snow on my car. And I have the 1 hour time just to clean the snow from my house to the street to be able to go out. And then I decided it's even not clean enough to go to Budapest. But anyhow, to Debrecen it's too far anyhow, so we would be remote.
So we have good news, the snow is melting in Debrecen already. So
yeah,
we use the same for you. Okay, thank you very much again. Thank you very much and goodbye.
Okay, I think the spring is a very nice time to come. Okay, thank you very much everybody. I hope you enjoyed, even there was not too many questions. If there are any questions, please pass them through your colleagues, like Zoltán or the NIF headquarters in Budapest. We are in access to, and we will process that, or through our distributor, who is the support body for the installation. I think 90% would be answered by them locally in Hungarian language. The rest need to be English. Sorry, we are not yet good enough in your language. So we are in touch, and I hope you would come next presentation when Rüdiger would go into detail to the software, because I think it's for researchers is even more interesting what library for what can be used, how to call it, maybe what parameter settings to do, and that would even stimulate more quality research and maybe bigger models soon in Hungary. So that's our common goal.
Thank you very much again. Thank you very much. And now, kedves kollégák, még egy pillanatra maradjatok. Zoltán elmondaná, hogy mi lesz a következő program.
Tehát a következő programot azt jövő, pontosabban ezen a héten pénteken tartjuk, és a pillanatban ígéretek szerint a hőhidrográfiát fogjuk mutatni a szegedi és budapesti rendszereket, az egyforma rendszerek, tehát igazán viselkedéssel, méretbeli kérdések van csak. Az egy picit más a lényegű lesz, mert ott már a hardware és a software tűzőjel voltak. A Silicon Graphics-szal kapcsolatosan nagyon korábbi is 12-19-et nyilván az ő időtől függ, akkor fogjuk a szoftveres részét áttekinteni, és hát nyilván további érdekes témákat próbálunk mindenjéteni, ahhoz, hogy hát, minél jól kihasználhassák a rendszereket, és hát minél több információval érintjük azzal, amivel tekinteni, hogy melyik partnert, melyik partnertvár, melyik programozási környezetet, melyik szimulációs rendszert használhatjuk a legjobban saját kutatásokhoz.
Utána úgy jutunk, amikor tényleg, hogyha meg lesz a gyászabunk, meg minden, hogy na, akkor hogy kell.
Ilyen is lesz, ilyen kimagyarodást is terveztünk a listába, amikor az NIFS kollégák majd részletesen megmutatják, hogy akkor milyen szoftvereket, hogy lehet újítani a megfelelítő vannak, illetve a második további szoftveri gépű beszélhetőbe képtük be részletekről, mint a csoportok részéről, akkor mondjuk akkor lehet, hogy egy nagyon fontos és izgalmas rész, amikor a szuperszemkörülete fotó alkalmazás, amikor tudatosan a grafikus, ezt ki kell hozni a PC-re, a fékéhez, tehát csak a képen. Ezt a vizualizációs területet nevezik ezt a dolgot. Ez is már működőképes, tehát nagyon érdekes és gyors, teljesen más élménye van az embernek a szuperszámítógépnek, a alkalmazási szimulációknak a megjelenítő felületén nézni ezt a rendszereket, illetve mint egyébként a kívülmond lassú helyi PC-ket. Tehát ilyen olyan tanfolyamban ilyen előadást is meg fogunk hallgatni. Itt még attól függ az ötönözéssel, hogy hogyan tudjuk a külső valókat behívni, hiszen az egy picit nehezebb, hogy megszervezzük. Nyilván azon mondjuk, hogy a májusi előadási kezdésre nyilván több használható kapcsolatot is ismerünk, és
itt a munkacsoport mögött körbekérdezték, hogy ki milyen szoftvert használna, azt én is összegyűjtöttem, küldöm nektek, és akkor majd várjuk a választ, hogy mi az, ami van, mi az, ami nincs, hogy a standardok azok meg lesznek.
Igen, tehát egy kritikus rész az, amikor ugye a pénzes szoftverek, tehát bizonyos pénzes szoftverek vannak, hogy a Netflix, amelyek fel vannak, tehát 2012-es licenszek kell futnak. Viszont hát ilyen nagyon speciális valami molekula szimulációs program, ha az nem ügyenes, akkor az működésre, de a Google-szorszokat azt fel lehet tenni. Ez minden tájékozódni, tehát mindenki a saját kutatási területén egyébként ugye a HPC kutatott alkalmazások, nyilvános dolgok,
és még egy, hogy majd valamikor, amikor alkalmas, vagy meg tudjuk oldani, ha beérzítjük a szuperszámítógépnél lévő videokonferenciát is. Ez egy nagyon szép teremtet, amikor ott a szuperszámítógép csörgedezik a hátul mögött a
más
élénk, és gondolom mindenki tudja kellene megnézni. Tehát, hogyha ez a létszám stabilizálódik, akkor egyszer csak nem itt rendezzük, hanem odakint az úrunk, egyszer a kapcsolatban mindenki ki tudja mondani, segítünk pár autóval, kivisszük a társágot, és akkor az előadás előtt vagy után Zoltán körbe is vezet bennünket a végbe. Ne csak képen, mert itt
vizetlenül.
Jó, hát akkor nagyon szépen köszönjük, hogy eljöttetek, és akkor pénteken kerülünk. Thank you.